I think there are two questions that all of us in sales have wrestled with at one time or another, and they both have to do with LinkedIn. The first one is, why should we be on LinkedIn in the first place? And the second question is, how the heck do we find the time to make LinkedIn a part of our new account acquisition process? Today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I have a cool freebie for you guys. If you haven't signed up yet for my emails, would you please go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. Now today, we're going to be talking about two really important questions that I know all of us have asked ourselves at one time or another. Number one, why should I be on LinkedIn? And if, by the way, if you're already on LinkedIn, you might from time to time ask yourself kind of a little variation of that, like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, what's the point of this? And then the other question is, and I know this is like just a really tough one for a lot of you guys, because a lot of you email me this question: how do I find the time to work LinkedIn like as part of my new account acquisition strategy? How do I like work it into my prospecting cadence, if you will? So today we're going to go there, and you know how I like to roll. So why don't we just like jump right in and get down to business? So the very first question I want to tackle with you guys is kind of why I think you should be on LinkedIn. And I mean, this is something that, I mean, it doesn't matter how long I've been on LinkedIn, there's still a lot of people that aren't convinced that either A, they should be on there, and B, like, why they should even like make any effort with LinkedIn. So I could go on and on with reasons about this, and I've just like broken it down to five really important reasons for you. The very first one, and this one, honestly, I feel it's such a strong reason that I could give you this reason, do a mic drop, and that's like it, because I really believe that this one reason alone is worth the price of admission. And it's, you ready for this? There's no gatekeepers on LinkedIn. I mean, seriously, I want you to think about this. One of the things that us sales, like aspiring sales rock stars, love to piss and moan about is the fact that, oh man, I got stopped by the gatekeeper, and oh man, his assistant is such a pain in the ass, man. I could never get a call into this person. Well, if you want to avoid gatekeepers, one of the things that you can do is like approach people through LinkedIn. Seriously, there are no gatekeepers there. And I can honestly tell you, having been an active participant on LinkedIn since 2008, by the way, I'm coming up right now. I mean, like, we're within months of my 10-year anniversary on LinkedIn. I can tell you that I have gotten in front of CEOs, I have had conversations with celebrities on LinkedIn, and it's like I am not shut down by a gatekeeper. I mean, it's amazing. Oh, and by the way, I could tell you all day long that like I've had conversations with this person and that person, whatever. You know, screw all that stuff. I've made money. I mean, seriously, I mean, forgive me for being like a whore here, but I mean, part of like what we're doing here is like, yeah, we're serving our community and we're serving people and we're adding value, but I don't know. You know, I'm kind of making money here too, and I know you are, right? I mean, if you're here to make money, and I can tell you that with no gatekeepers, it makes it a hell of a lot easier. Reason number two, it's the opportunity for you to establish your Uncle Paul's favorite word in the whole wide world. And if you've been listening for a while, you're answering it right now. There's probably people right now in a sales meeting. I know a lot of you guys will listen to the podcast in your sales meeting, and you guys are all saying it out loud if you've been listening to me for a while. And the word is propinquity. It's an opportunity for you to establish propinquity. And what propinquity means, it means nearness and closeness and kinship. So let's just stop there for a minute. Let's just remove LinkedIn from the equation. Throughout history, you understand that business deals have been done because of a sense of feeling close to someone and a kinship, right? I mean, haven't we always like talked about like deals being done on the golf course? Haven't we talked about like people who are a part of an organization, like, you know, giving us a shot at their business? Haven't we like heard of instances where people were like a member of their fraternity bought from them or introduced them to someone? Heck, my oldest son, Paul, right? I mean, can you guess who he was named after, right? I mean, like, how original could I be, right? My oldest son, Paul, had two job opportunities waiting for him last May when he graduated from college. And two kick-ass job opportunities. The first one was to go right into the management program at Enterprise Rent-A-Car because of an earlier opportunity that was given to him from somebody in his fraternity. My son was president of his fraternity, by the way, and he got into the management training program at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So that was opportunity number one that was waiting for him. The second one that came to him as a result of one of his fraternity brothers was as a management consultant in New York City. And that's the job that he took. And without being tacky or getting into details or whatever it is, I mean, I want you to think about it. I mean, you know, like, do the math. A management consulting role in a New York City firm, it's an international company. It was just a really good starting salary. And this all came to him not only because of the fact that he's a bright kid, Dean's List, worked hard in school, a go-getter, but because he had the right people whispering in the other right people's ears to give him a shot. And that's how it's done a lot today, by the way. So I want you to think about that. So it's an opportunity to establish propinquity. Now, the other thing too is when you've established this sense of nearness and closeness with people and they have a sense that they know you, well, then it's a lot easier for them to facilitate warm introductions and referrals. I mean, seriously, I get a ton of warm intros just by virtue of being there and interacting with people and showing up every day. I've become a familiar face to the people in my network and even people outside of my network, by the way. I've been able to really establish that sense of propinquity with them. But a lot of people think that you really have to know somebody well to get a warm introduction. And that one I will cry bullshit on all day long. And also the fact that, like, you know, like, to get a referral, you have to have earned it. And, well, yeah, that's part of it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have real skinny kids, and so are you. If we sit around waiting for this, like hand of God to come down from heaven and say, you have earned the right to, and I feel like I should go back and remix that when I say, you have earned the right, like it should be godly and like it should be like echoes and shit. But, you know, I just don't feel like it. And I'll tell you why I don't feel like it. Because the sooner I get done with this podcast today, the sooner I could be out on the patio having drinks with Mrs. Uncle Paul, because it's like 60 degrees out here in New York. And I love you guys, but podcast, drinking with my wife, you know, I'm going to have to take the drinking with my wife thing. So I'm not going to go back and remix that. But don't, like, think that the only way that you get referrals is that you have to, like, bend over backwards for your clients. I get referrals from people that have never done, like, 1 ounce of business with me. And again, it goes back to that propinquity. The other thing that it does is, like, being on LinkedIn, it allows people to do something that makes them very comfortable in the way that people are buying today. Let me say it again. I'm kind of setting this up, putting a little bit of mystery in there. It allows people to do something that's really, really like underscores the way that more and more people are buying today. And really the way that more and more people are starting to buy is that they want to be able to step back safely and anonymously from a distance and have an opportunity to kind of evaluate you. Because one of the things we've always said in sales, and to me, it's one of those sayings that, and forgive me, I've got like my smart ass cap on for this. There are things that we just beat the shit out of in sales. Like people do business with those they know, like, and trust. And you've gotta provide value. You've gotta be a trusted advisor. Be a true consultant, right? All that stuff that we've beaten the shit out of it for decades, to the point that if you ask someone after like they've spewed those words, like, hey, you know, not to be a dick here, but do you even know what that means? Well, and like, you know, like they'll just like trail off. And they're like, hey, the call is breaking up, and drop call. Seriously, it's like we say this shit over and over again, and we've just kind of forgotten like what it actually means. But it's, you know, people buy us before they buy the widget, before they buy the company. So especially when it comes to your network, it gives them an opportunity to step back, see what you're all about, check out, like, be able to experience your expertise. They could see things about your personality, but they can do all this from a safe and anonymous distance. That's kind of a cool way when you think about it. And by the way, before we say, it's kind of shitty to do it anonymously, you do it too. Yes, you do. You absolutely do that too. We all do. Finally, I think this is my most powerful reason why I think you should be on LinkedIn. And we could probably make an entire podcast episode on all the reasons why I think you should be there. But this one hits home for me. When I first went on LinkedIn in 2008, it was right around this time of year that I went on it. And I remember about a month from now, actually it was probably in May of 2008, I attended the president's meetings that were not president's meetings. I'm sorry. We called them our sales meetings. And yet some of you guys, you call it your kickoff meetings and everything else. Every year, right around this time, April, May, at the billion-dollar a year printing company that I work for, Consolidated Graphics, also known as CGX, what we would do is we'd have three of these sales meetings because we had, geez, probably over 850 sales reps. So we divided the country in thirds. And we would do three of these meetings. This way, you know, instead of just like making a total mayhem and having to have a room that would hold probably not just 850, but all the other people, the presidents and their VPs of sales that would attend, it would be well over 1,000 people. So we divided it in thirds. And I remember at that point, LinkedIn, man, it was like bright, new, shiny object. I got in that room and I was like telling everybody, man, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And you guys got to get on LinkedIn. And I remember like I did breakout groups talking about like this incredible opportunity. And this is the part I'm kind of ashamed of. But a few months later, I just was like, you know what, F this. And I was out of there. I think I embraced LinkedIn for the wrong reason. I kind of thought it'd be almost like this like magic like spell that would become like all of like my contacts. I thought that all you had to do is really connect with people and the world would be a path to your door. And I quit LinkedIn for like about a month or two. And then in the fall of 2008, I said, you know what? I really quit for the wrong reasons. I was like going around saying, yeah, LinkedIn sucks and all this and that. And then I realized one day after I told my ego to leave the room that, you know, maybe it isn't LinkedIn that sucks. Maybe it's Paul Castain. Maybe like because like, oh, I don't know, like I didn't do like any work on my network. I didn't do anything to nurture my network. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to try it for a while and I'm going to give it a good, honest effort and I'm going to come up with a communication plan where I'm going to keep in touch with people, not just connect with people and then wait for some magical shit to happen. I'm going to actually keep in touch and have, you guys have heard me talk about it, we call it a communication map, where I say, okay, the first touch is going to be this. I'm going to wait X amount of time. The second touch is going to be this. And I did it. Now, when I started LinkedIn, I started it with the idea that it's going to be there for me someday. I had no agenda. I absolutely was totally head over heels in love with the company I was working for, making good money, nice juicy bonuses. I was a vice president. And then, and by the way, before I get to the end, and then, I just continued to work my network. Long after like the period of time that I said, I'm going to try it again, it just became a habit. And what happened was about 2 years, almost 3 years later, I had a bit of a left hook. And the hook, you know, that I always talk about, it started with my wife being diagnosed with breast cancer, and everything, you know, resolved itself. Everything worked out well. We caught it at the earliest possible stage, which is known as a stage zero. Instead of chemotherapy, it was radiation. Instead of a mastectomy, it was a lumpectomy. You know, so we really had the best of every possible thing that could have happened. We had it performed at Sloan Kettering, and we put it behind us. But somewhere in there, it was a tap on the shoulder to me that life was indeed very, very short. And I kept this one dream of mine. I kept saying someday, someday, someday. And it really made me think that someday, you know, sometimes, you know, that someday never comes. So I, at the same time, I realized that I had really fallen out of love with where I was doing what I was doing. Right, I love the idea of training people. I just didn't want to do it for someone else. I wanted to get back to that dream of mine, which was having another shot at owning my own business. The first one I had ended in disaster in 1995. It was like me going out in the playground and getting the shit kicked out of me by the bully. Not only the shit kicked out of me, but like I feel like the bully like gave me a wedgie and paraded me around like, you know, the entire sixth grade class. It was like that kind of humiliation. And I kind of wanted another go. Like I kind of wanted another shot at that bully. And in 2011, I hung out the proverbial shingle for Castain Training Systems. And this, we just celebrated our 7-year anniversary, which is an incredible milestone in the sales training industry, because my experience has been a lot of these people who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a sales trainer, I'm going to be a consultant, I'm going to be a coach. The vast majority of the people that I see out there, they don't go past 18 to 24 months, which is about typical for a small business anyway. But this is a brutal industry, and I've made it 7 years, year over year growth. We've been growing. I do work with several Fortune 500 companies now. But here's the thing, and this is my best selling point with LinkedIn. We all need a plan B, and you don't know. You never know. You think everything's good today and you don't need a network, but a left hook can come your way. And I don't mean to be morbid or anything else, but you could lose your job. You could fall out of love with your job. You might decide to take your life in a different direction. Due to some circumstances beyond your control, you might have to move and relocate and reestablish yourself. You know, several times in my life, I've had to start over again. You may find yourself in that position where you have to start over again. But here's the thing, folks. That network goes with you wherever you go. And here's what I did. And this is like the best testimonial I could ever give you for working like with LinkedIn and making it a part of your prospecting cadence. For about 2 years before I started my business, all I did was just make sure that I always showed up on LinkedIn, made my appearances, almost like the shop owner going to their store and flipping that sign that says, sorry, we're closed, to yes, we're open. I looked at it that way. I kind of visualized myself going to a virtual store, if you will, and just letting the world know that I was open. Except in my case, I really wasn't selling anything. I made sure that I kept in touch with people. I made sure that every single week that I got on the phone with at least, you know, 3 to 5 of my LinkedIn quote unquote connections and get to know them. Now, when the time came and I was like, all right, going to start a business, the first place I went to, because I had no pipeline, I wasn't in a like full-on like sales role, I was in a vice president of sales development role where my job was the training and development of 850 salespeople. So I wasn't in an active sales role. So I had no pipeline and no contacts. So I had to start from scratch. So the first place I went was my LinkedIn network. And after giving, and helping people and being active there, and like I said, showing up, all I did back in 2011, I believe it was March that I did this, sent out an email saying, hey, forgive me if this is spammy. You guys know me. I always try to like gift. And today I'm going to be a little selfish. I need to ask something. Started my own business. Here are the areas that I'm going to be working with people on. And I name like coaching and training and online stuff or whatever. It's like four different keynote speeches or whatever. And if you or the people you work for would find value in this, let's talk. If not, you know, could you think of anyone in your network that might find value in these services? And I kept it short and sweet, and like I really didn't want to hit them with a hardcore sales pitch. And that email was sent mostly to the people that I had spoken with on LinkedIn because I felt I had a tighter bond with them. Now, remember, I said to you, every single week I try to speak with at least 3 to 5 people. Truth be told, as I got closer to that moment when I was going to be starting my business, I started upping that to like 10 people a week. I figured that would be, you know, like a good way to start building a really like rock solid network. And I decided to start with them. And they got the emails first and then everybody else in my network. And here's what happened. Within 30 days of sending out that email to everyone, I landed my first 45 clients. My first 45 clients were landed within the first month of starting Castaing Training Systems. And it was a heck of an accomplishment. I mean, and the breakdown was 30 people right off the bat became coaching clients. 15 were corporate clients where they were flying me out to redo their sales training programs. Some of them were keynote addresses or whatever it was. But I was able to bring in a sizable amount of revenue in a short period of time because I relied on my network. So reason number 5 is that it's a plan B that every one of us needs. Right now, you could say, Paul, everything's great. I own my own business like you, but how do you know that's going to be there forever? And even if you do own your own business and things are going great right now, I mean, why wouldn't you want to have like an extra like revenue stream coming in or an extra area where you can like bring in some more business and serve more people? But now that we've gotten the why out of the way, I want to address the next question, which is how the heck do we find the time to really like get on LinkedIn and make it part of our prospecting plan. So a few very quick suggestions for you. The very first one is known as the Pomodoro technique. And I talk about this an awful lot. I've mentioned it a lot on my webinars and in my training. And it is like so simple. I wish I was the person who invented this. Seriously, I'm like really jealous. And what the Pomodoro technique is that you set a timer for 25 minutes and you focus on one task. So my suggestion would be is that early, so that you get it in the bank early, you set a timer for 25 minutes and you focus on LinkedIn activities. Before the business day starts, this way you're not taking it away from like the cold calls that you want to do and being face-to-face and other money activities. Do this nice and bright and early, or if you prefer, you could, like if you're not a morning person or your morning is just already like full of chaos, maybe you could do it later on after the kids go to sleep or whatever. But set that timer. But the key to the Pomodoro technique, no matter what you're doing, whether it be LinkedIn or your cold calls or like working on like a project or whatever, is that the rule is that you only focus on that one task. So while you're doing the LinkedIn, you're not multitasking. You're not like answering an email, or if it were during business hours, answering a phone or whatever. You're only going to focus on that. So that is suggestion number one, that you set a timer for 25 minutes early in the morning, get it in the bank early. The other thing that I would mention when it comes to like getting it in the bank early, I've talked a lot about that with you guys, about getting in some of your prospecting activity early, like as in before the business day even starts. And there is a formula that I always talk about, and it's called the 2-2-2 formula. And this could really like be a nice add-on. It would complement it very, very nicely. So in this context, we're going to call it the 2-2-2/25. So let's talk about the 2-2-2. Every single day while you're having that morning coffee, what I want you to do is send out two emails to two people that you're not doing business with. And what I recommend that you do is you have some templates that you use. So this way it's a nice quick activity. Like when I say nice and quick, well, if you're doing this every morning and you have templates, it's not going to take you more than like 2 or 3 minutes to do it. And bang, 6 a.m., you've got two emails out to two people that you're not doing business with. The second thing that I recommend, it's the second like two. Also, before like you head out to start your day bright and early, send out two pieces of snail mail. And because like nobody does it. And not only like does nobody like send out snail mail, but the rare people who do, like the rare few that do, they don't include a handwritten component. So slap a post-it note on there, or like if there's room on whatever the marketing piece is that you're sending out, like write a little note in like a bright colored marker or something so it stands out so that it's personal and it doesn't seem like you sent out 50 like 1,000 of these things. So that's the second thing that you're going to do. And before you even go off to work, now think about it, you've had 4 attempts at like getting your name in front of a potential client. Pretty cool. And then like later in the day, at a more godly hour, what I want you to do is like, and this is the third like two in the 2-2-2 formula, you're going to call two people that you're not doing business with yet. Like you want to call them cold calls, warm calls, lukewarm calls, like warm interest, whatever the hell you want to call them. Like just make two calls. So now if you do those like that 2-2-2 formula each and every day, that's 6 attempts a day, 6 more than you have right now, without you even breaking a sweat. You're gonna have 30 more a week. 30 times like 50, because I wanna give you 2 weeks off because I'm a generous son of a bitch, and I'm gonna give you 2 weeks off a year, right? Like, so what is that, like 30 times 50? 1,500 a year? 1,500 more than you have right now? This isn't your prospecting system. This is an add-on. This is just like above and beyond. But now, imagine this. You add on to that 2-2-2 formula 25 minutes of LinkedIn. Now, you can get more ambitious with this, and you could do a 25-minute Pomodoro of LinkedIn activity bright and early. You could do another one at lunch if you wanted to, or if you wanted to do another one later on after business or whatever. But this is how you find the time. And just like that 2-2-2 formula, this is going to add up. I mean, it's going to be nutty how much time that's going to add up to, like, over the course of a year. So that's another thing. The final tip that I have for you today, if you're really busy and you want to like do something that will enable you to keep up with your appearances, I want you to check out something. There is a free version of this and there's a paid version of it. It's called Buffer App. Buffer, B-U-F-F-E-R app. And if you go to bufferapp.com, you can get the free version of this. With the free version of this, what you can do is you can pre-populate 5 updates. And it's not just LinkedIn, by the way. You can have updates scheduled for Twitter, for Instagram, for Facebook, and it's pretty cool like that. So what you can do is like you can schedule your updates, whether it be sharing an article or a thought or a tip or a question or whatever it is. And the thing that I love about Buffer App is that many times, not many times, just about all the time, it allows me to be two places at once. I do a lot of traveling. So while I'm in the air and I'm flying, I am like keeping up my appearances across all my social networking platforms. When I'm in the classroom training you guys, I'm in two places at once. I'm training you guys, and guess what? I'm making my appearances on LinkedIn. Also, on holidays, same things. After hours, I have people over in the UK. There's a five-hour time difference between there and where I am in the Eastern time zone. So I have things that are going out at 2 a.m. in the morning when I'm like nice and like my fat ass is like sound asleep. But it allows you to be two places at once, and you could just, and here's what I do. I like while I'm watching TV at night, I'm just right on my phone because you can do this right from your phone. I find different articles I want to share and different thoughts or whatever it is, and I just like set up for the next day. And if somebody like me who is doing updates constantly on social networking can do it and find it easy enough to use, you guys could do this in your sleep because you're not going to be posting as much as I am. So with the free version, you can post up to 5 updates with the free version. If you do the paid version, which will set you back, you ready for this? Get ready to like refinance the house, $10 a month. Seriously. With the paid version, you could do up to 100 of these. So I have the paid version. And it might be something that, you know, maybe dip your toe in the water with the free version of it and then move on to it. But again, it is called Buffer App. So the third question that we're not going to get into today is, you might be saying, okay, we kind of talked about the why. We talked a little bit about how do we find time. But now, like, the next biggest question is kind of like, okay, but what do I do? Right? What should I be doing on there to maximize that 25 minutes? Or if you're doing two of those like, you know, hour a day that you're going to be putting in on LinkedIn. That part of it, I would sincerely like to invite you, or insincerely, whatever you prefer, to come join us on May 3rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And we have a program which is called How to Generate More Leads Through LinkedIn. And there is a lot of training out there that loves to talk about all the things you should be doing with your profile and all the mechanics and all the content that you're supposed to be like producing on LinkedIn. I don't do any of that shit. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, like I'll ridicule a lot of these people, and I know that they're smart and I shouldn't be doing this and all that. But the last like effing thing that we need right now is yet another course or yet another article talking about your LinkedIn profile, because I've seen people with absolutely incredible profiles, but they didn't know how to interact with people, and they send you an invite and then they did a whole lot of nothing. What we're going to be talking about here is we're just going to cut to the chase, and we're going to talk about how do you nurture people from the moment you make contact to the point, hopefully, that you can transition them into a client. I've created an entire like easy to follow communication program for you guys, and I even have 10 templates to make it super easy. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/LinkedIn, and it's all lowercase letters, yoursalesplaybook.com/LinkedIn. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.